The resurrection of Jesus Christ sends a shockwave, seismic wave into each of our spiritual realities. And the question, the takeaway at the end of the day is, has Jesus shifted your world?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today as we dive into this two-part sermon on the resurrection. Now, Pastor Philip, the query simply is this: what difference does the resurrection make in my life? Isn't that what you're asking our listeners?
Yeah, that's the bottom line question, right? We've been talking about this seismic shift that the resurrection brings historically, philosophically. It's changed the world in so many ways, split the world into BC and AD. But the reality is the resurrection can also shift our lives as well. It can split our lives into BC and AD. Hmm. When the resurrection reality, the good news of Jesus Christ, drops down into our lives, it changes everything. And the question we all have to face when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, who is this Jesus and what do I do with him? And that's the question that can change our world.
We explore that now as we go to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we look at the spiritual implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is part two of the sermon, He is Risen. Our text today is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10.
In Greco-Roman thought, in Jewish thought, what happens on resurrection morning is frankly impossible. It's impossible. They were not primed and ready to believe it. It's like a seismic shockwave that breaks all the categories and writes an entirely different story. And friends, the resurrection of Jesus is still rocking our world today. In the same way, we really don't believe it's possible. No, we don't live in Greco-Roman or Jewish philosophical categories anymore. We live in a secular philosophical framework. Jesus' resurrection in the same way is breaking our categories. If you don't know what the secular story is, like, we rarely say it out loud, but this is the story, okay? If someone hasn't told it to you recently. The secular philosophical story of life goes like this. We are here because of random chance and the survival of the fittest. Nature is red in tooth and claw, as Alfred Lord Tennyson put it. And so life is all about devour or be devoured. It's a struggle of power and who will win. Because life has no inherent meaning, it's up to you and me to devise our own happiness. So we write the rules. Follow your own heart. Make your own meaning. And because you only live once, live it up. And hold on as long as you can. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Dylan Thomas. But in the end, death conquers us all. In the end, we are all forgotten. And eventually the sun will burn out, and this world as we know it will freeze over, and everything will be lost in a cold, dark void. And in the end, it will be like it never happened in the first place. What a great story. But friends, if the resurrection is true, everything changes. If the resurrection is true, everything changes. If the resurrection is true, friends, death isn't the end after all. There is life and love and high beauty beyond the horizon. If the resurrection is true, we are not just flesh and bone. We are souls who are destined to live forever. If the resurrection is true, we exist not by chance, but because an eternally loving God has created us in his image to be enfolded in his love forever. If the resurrection is true, then life is full of rich meaning and purpose because we were made to come alive in the love of God, to return His love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to reflect His glorious love as we love each other, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Friends, if the resurrection is true, then life, this life, brimming with overflowing love, is designed to last forever. We intuitively tell our spouses and our kids, I'm going to love you forever. From here to eternity, I'm going to love you. If the secular story is correct, we are lying through our teeth. But if the resurrection is true, we are speaking the greatest reality as God intended it to be. Friends, if the resurrection is true, God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. If the resurrection is true, our sins can be forgiven. If the resurrection is true, you and I can be made new. If the resurrection is true, then we have so much to live for. If the resurrection is true, we are loved more than we know. If the resurrection is true, there is a happily ever after all. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ sends a seismic shockwave through our philosophical categories. It shifts our world and turns it upside down. A historical seismic shift, a philosophical seismic shift, and now lastly, a spiritual seismic shift. Friends, if the resurrection is true, there is nothing, listen, nothing more important than what we do with Jesus. There's nothing more important than what we do with Jesus. If He really is the Son of God as He claimed, if He really died on the cross for our sins, like he said, if He can really make us children of God forever, as He promised, then there is nothing more important than what we do with Jesus. The resurrection sends a shockwave all the way across each one of our spiritual realities. And the question lingers, what will we do with Jesus? I'll tell you what most of us try to do. Most of us respect Jesus as a great moral teacher. We admire Him for His wise insights into humanity and spiritual life. And so we think of Him primarily as an advisor. Somebody, a consultant who will give us advice on how to live, and we can sort of choose whether we take it or not. This is how most of us live. It keeps us safely in control, you see. But when it comes to Jesus' claims of being the Son of God, the crucified Savior, the resurrected Lord, well, let's not get too carried away here, you know? Not be one of those crazy people. C.S. Lewis, who was the famous author and professor at Oxford and Cambridge universities in the middle of last century, in his book, The Mere Christianity, he writes to people just like you and me who are trying to figure this out. This is what he writes. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Him as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept His claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who claims he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something else, something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any of this patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. he did not intend to. Friends, we must do something with Jesus. It will not do to put him in the category of an advisor, consultant, someone to just pepper your life with some good advice, give you some pointers on how to live. If the resurrection is true, Jesus is none other than the Son of God, the crucified Savior, and the risen Lord, the King of the world. And the only fitting response is to do exactly what these ladies did on resurrection morning. They come, take hold of his feet, and worship him. Friends, if Jesus' resurrection is real, nothing else matters. And if it's not real, nothing else matters. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sends a shockwave, a seismic wave into each of our spiritual realities. And the question, the takeaway at the end of the day is, has Jesus shifted your world? Has Jesus shifted your world, turned it upside down? You know there's been an earthquake because earthquakes are upheaving, seismic events. They rock our world. The landscape ends up looking very differently after the earthquake, after all of that power is unleashed, right? One of the ways you'll know that you've encountered the risen Christ for real is the landscape of your life will never look the same again. You will find your affections changing, the desires of your heart shifting, your priorities altering. And instead of just looking to Jesus as an advisor to give you some tips, you start following him as the Lord and Savior of your life. And it's a whole new kind of life with Jesus at the center, and it turns out to be the life you always wanted all along. That's the story we heard from Brandon and Brittany earlier. Wasn't that powerful? They go to this church. That is the joy of a changed life. Two changed lives. Real lives, real people, right now, that Jesus is still changing, rocking their world with the power of his resurrection life. And friends, this can be your story too. It can be your story too. How would that be? Coming to Jesus is easy. It's not easy. I said that wrong. It's not easy, but it is simple. It is simple. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, admit. We admit that we are sinners, far from God, that we've made a mess of our lives and we need help. B, believe. We believe that Jesus has done everything to make us right with God when he died in our place and rose again, his life for ours. And C, we commit. We commit our lives to him and we say, come be my Savior, be my Lord, be my everything, I'm yours. It's that simple. But it's not easy because you got to be willing to follow him. Get out of the driver's seat of your life and live for him, and he will change you in ways you can't even imagine. In a room this large, I can't help but think that there are people here who are hungry for a relationship with God. Maybe you've been running through life trying to figure out what life's all about. Could it be that you were made for Jesus Christ and that he loves you? And that his death and resurrection is the secret to you living the life you always were meant to live.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are so glad you're joining us today as we dig deeper into the question of what to do about Jesus. Pastor Philip, you quoted C.S. Lewis in the sermon. We can't have it both ways. He cannot be a great moral teacher and yet deny the deity. It sets it up that Jesus is either crazy or he's a liar, but we can't have it both ways, can we?
Yeah. Yeah. The reality is Jesus is far too sane
to be crazy, to be a lunatic.
Yes.
You read through the Gospels, he's emotionally regulated. He's wise and thoughtful. His encounters with people are brilliant. Like, this is not a crazy man we're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. And so that one's off the table. He can't be crazy. So now you're left with, is he a liar or is he the Lord? And the reality is he could have been like the greatest deceiver in all of history, pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. But then you look at it and you say, wait a minute, what about all this goodness? Look at the goodness of his life, the way he loved, the way he taught, the way he treated people. There's something beautiful and precious and really dignified and glorious and good. There's a goodness to Jesus that doesn't fit with this is a scam artist, right?
Right.
And then you get the power, which is remarkable, right? The claims of, I am the Son of God. I am here to save the world. I'm walking out of my grave. I'm raising people from the dead. I'm doing miracles. Like, you could, that you have to do something with. And it tips you to, I guess he's got to be the Lord. That's really, at the end of the day, the final choice you have to make, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is, it's not just an intellectual choice. Is he the Lord? It's a personal thing. Because for most of us, this is where the rubber meets the road, is if Jesus Christ is the risen one, then he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And I'm not alone. I've been made by a God. I have a soul. I have some responsibility and accountability to him. I can't just keep living the way I've always wanted to live. If Jesus is risen from the dead, then I have to do something with Jesus.
That's right.
And I have to bow the knee at some level, right, to this King Jesus, who is sovereign over all. And so that, I think, is the thing underneath for most of us. We're scared. We're scared to give up the control of running our own lives. We think, if I let go of the wheel, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to let go because I may be miserable, but I'm driving.
Yes.
And so, like, it might be a bumpy journey, but at least I'm in control. But the reality is, if Jesus is risen from the dead, he's the King of Kings. He deserves to be on the throne of our lives. He deserves to take the wheel. And so that, I think that's the reality. The resurrection brings us to that point where we have to decide whether we're going to get right with the living God or not. And that's where the rubber meets the road for all of us.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. He wasn't a liar. They tried every single day to prove him a liar. He wasn't. He proved himself to be who he was, the risen Christ, by many signs, miracles, and wonders. And you tell us, Pastor Philip, that Jesus is the secret to the life we're supposed to live. Okay, our listeners want to know, well, what life is that exactly?
Yeah, well, here's the beautiful story, right? That the world that we live in is one that was birthed in love, that God loved us enough, that he loved us into existence. He created us in order to share himself with us, that we were made for a loving, life-giving, joyous relationship with the God who made us, that each of us has been made with intention and purpose. And even though we've sinned and rebelled and run away from God, that he has never stopped loving us, that he has pursued us, sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death that we deserved, to reconcile us to God, to rise again and give us eternal life. And that if we would believe in him, we could come alive, not just now, but forever in him.
Yes.
Full of his Holy Spirit, adopted as children of God, reconciled to God forever, a life of joy and meaning and purpose and eternity in Jesus Christ. That's the story. That's the life we were meant to live.
Amen.
And the reality is, if the resurrection is true, then all of that's true.
Yeah.
And it can be ours in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That was a good outline of the benefits, so to speak, of the resurrection, of what we have in Christ. But I got to back up two steps. What are we to do about Jesus? Who is Jesus for us as individuals? Isn't that really our question now? What will we do with Jesus? You have all this historical information and you've laid out the case for who he is, but now what are you going to do with that?
Well, that's the real question for every single one of us, right? Is what do we do with this resurrected Jesus? It's not just a historical fact. It's not just philosophical curiosity. It's not just some religious, infomercial. What it impinges on my life. It affects me, my own story, my own life. And what do I do with Jesus, this resurrected one?
Yes.
Is his life going to become my own or not, right? And I think this is the point where, I just want to speak very directly to our listeners and just say, I'm so glad you're here. And if maybe the Lord is stirring in your life, and I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. And whether you're in your car or at your desk or sitting at home, wherever you are, you can come home to the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. You can come home to the Father through Jesus today. And it's simple. It's simple. The gospel is simple. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, we admit that we are sinners far from God. B, we believe that Jesus is the only way we can come home, that Jesus died in our place and for our sake, that he's our Savior. And C, we commit our lives to him and say, come be my Savior, my Lord. I give you myself, my life. And so we could just pray. There's nothing magic in these words, but it's what's happening in our hearts that counts. But you could just pray along with me as I just pray this simple prayer. And wherever you are, just pray in your heart or pray out loud. You can pray these words and the Lord will respond. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we admit that we are sinners. And we believe that Jesus Christ has come to make us right with you. And we now commit ourselves to you and say, be our Savior, be our Lord, be our King, be our everything. We give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And amen.
And if you prayed that prayer today, we want to welcome you home to the family of God. And would you please let us know here at Living Hope? We would love to hear your story and what God's doing in your life.
And amen. What will you do with Jesus? Beloved, it's simply the most important question you'll ever answer in your entire life. And once you answer yes to Jesus, the next step is discovering the massive reality of what actually happened inside of you when you put your faith in him. You know, our own Pastor Philip Miller recently endorsed an accessible book which conveys the gospel truth. Jesus came to raise spiritually dead people into life. That's eternal life. Now, that book is called The New Birth, and in it, author Peter Mead walks us through what he calls the paternity test of our faith, the biblical markers that help us know we are truly God's own. It's an incredible, helpful guide for new believers who are trying to understand this radical transformation from death to life. It's just as vital for those of us who've been followers of Christ for years. If you've ever struggled with self-justification, or maybe you've wondered if the new creation life is really at work in you, Dr. Mead offers practical insights that ground your identity in Christ alone. Now, this is the last day we're able to offer the book, The New Birth. Order yours now. You can do it right now. Just go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. This book ties your personal story into the big story of Scripture. It's clear, it's deep, it's written to move your heart to worship. If you want to understand the theology and experience of what it means to be born from above, this resource is for you. And it's time to stop trying to fix the old self and start embracing the new creation God has made you to be. Now, we're offering The New Birth for a donation of any amount. That includes shipping. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.